Of the Lord in our service. Very thankful for the opportunity that we have to worship this morning. I have been looking forward to today, knowing that there is going to be a baptizing, because baptizing is something that it's very special. And I would that we never as a people lose the value and importance of baptism. And in our world today, it can start losing value and purpose. So by the help of the Lord this morning, we'd like to talk about baptism, maybe a little preaching, a little teaching, little exhortation in there. But we'd like to begin over in the book of Acts and the 16th verse, or the 16th chapter rather, of Acts. Verse 25, it said, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." Now, you all remember where they were when they sang and praised God? They were in prison, weren't they? They were in jail because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And it was at midnight, one of the darkest periods of time, when they were there hurting. They'd been beaten. And they were there, but instead of being in the molly grubs, rather than being discouraged and despondent, it said that they prayed and they sang praises to God. They were not having a pity party there in the jail. But they were praising God, and it said, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. The Lord paid them a visit. He took note of their praise, and He caused an earthquake to cause the prison doors to open up." And they could have left. They could have all run out. But it said the keeper of the prison, he woke out of sleep and he saw the prison doors open. He drew out his sword and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Because the reality was, if you were a guard and you lost your prisoner, they escaped, the Romans would put you to death. So knowing that, well, the doors are open, of course, the prisoners are going to run out, and he drew a sword to just kill himself. But there was something that was going on at this place. It said, "Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" I don't know if Paul, it was dark, but Paul knew no one was leaving because they were seeing God reveal Himself. They saw something was happening. The presence of God is here. If you are in jail and the prison doors open up and you had a life sentence, what would you do? You'd run, wouldn't you? "I've got a life sentence. I can get out of here." But all of the prisoners stayed right there because they wanted to see what was going to happen. They were in the presence of God. Do you know there's something about being in the presence of God that you don't want to leave? You've ever been just a real anointed in a good meeting? You don't want to leave because what's going to happen? I have left meetings, especially when I was younger. I've left meetings more than one time, and we'd be on the way. And we would just turn around and go back because the Spirit of the Lord was calling and He wanted us to be there. Do you know there's something about it when being in the presence of God? And so none of them wanted to run away. They were all right there. And this is what happened. They called for a light. And the prison keeper came trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he asked him a question. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I've seen the presence of God. I have seen how it worked in your life. Most prisoners would have been in there cursing and feeling sorry for themselves, but you were singing and you were praising God and praying, and then the doors open. I saw the power of God. I want what you have. What do I need to do to be saved? And this is what Paul said. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." He didn't give him some long, complicated thing to do. As it says in other passages, repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, and you'll be saved. This was more than just a head knowledge of believing, because even the devils believe and tremble, don't they? This belief that he was talking about was believe it enough to do something about it. Believe it enough to turn away from your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And it said, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. So then what happened? They repented. They heard the word of God and they got saved. He cleaned up Paul and Silas because they were bloody and contaminated, I'm sure, from being in the prison. The blood was still there. So he cleaned them up, and then they went out that same night and they were baptized. Do you know that's really God's will, that baptism is one of the first steps of obedience after we give our heart to the Lord? I know that there are people that have gone a period of time, and that's all right, but you know the Lord wants us to be baptized. And I would say this morning, if you have been saved and your desire and purpose is to do what they sang about, I've left all the world to follow Jesus. I've made a decision. If that is your decision this morning, if you will nail that down with the Lord, I would encourage you to go out and be baptized. Give your heart to the Lord. Turn away from your sin and reconfirm your consecration to the Lord, and you go out and be baptized as a testimony of what the Lord has done in my life. Baptism is a testimony of what God has already done in a life when they have decided to follow Jesus. Well, there's a lot of wrong teaching and a lot of wrong understanding about baptism. There's a lot of different doctrines out there, but again, it's why if we just come back to the simplicity of the Word of God and see what it says. Over in Acts, the second chapter, the message there on the day of Pentecost, they asked almost what the jailer did. They said, men and brethren, what do we do? We're convicted of our sin. We're not living like we ought to. What do we need to do? And Paul told them, he said, Peter, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What do we need to do? Repent. To repent means to turn away from. In other words, if we have not repented, we can go down in the water and be baptized 50 times, and it's not going to make a change in our heart. But when we repent and turn away from our sin, baptism is a testimony that I'm following Jesus and I've left the old way of living. I'm leaving the world, I'm leaving my old sinful life, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, as the Scripture says, in newness of life. Well, Jesus told his disciples in the 28th chapter of Matthew, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So go out and preach my word. Baptize them. You know, that's still the will of God today. It's a New Testament doctrinal teaching that when we go out and preach a message of salvation, what ought to follow is baptism. It's important and it's valuable. It is one of the few ordinances of the New Testament. And by that, in the Old Testament, there were a lot of rites and ceremonies. They burned incense. They used musical instruments in some of their worship. They offered sacrifices. They did physical things. In the New Testament, our worship is spiritual. But baptism is one of the few acts, physical acts that we do that have meaning. When we go down into that water, we go down into the water. Do you remember where John the Baptist baptized? In the Jordan River. One passage said he baptized where there was much water. If we were going to sprinkle this morning, we would just need a little basin or a little cup of water and we could sprinkle. But everywhere we read of baptism in the New Testament, it was down in the water. Remember Philip in the eunuch, the Ethiopian. They went down into the water to be baptized. Because when you bury someone, do you just put a little dirt over them? You just take a little handful of dirt and throw it on them and walk away and say they're buried? No, you cover them up, don't you? That's what, when we go down into the watery baptism, it's as if we are burying them. They're underwater. They're dead to sin now, but then they're resurrected in newness of life. Isn't that wonderful? When we have this baptism, yes, it's a ceremony. It's an ordinance. It's kind of after the pattern of the Old Testament, but it has great significance for us in the New Testament. It's letting everyone know I'm resurrected in a newness of life. I'm not living like I used to live. I'm not the same person I used to be. But it is my purpose to follow Jesus Christ for the life. That's going to be the one that directs the pattern of my living is now Jesus Christ. You see, baptism is a symbol then. There's no power in the water. We know that if you can take a drunk man and put a nice suit on him and take him down into the water and baptize him, he's still going to come up a drunk. You can take a liar and go baptize him 10 times. He's still going to be a liar. But when he turns away from his sin and is washed in the blood of Jesus, he's no longer the same. And when he goes down in the water, what he's communicating is, in a very significant physical way, is that I have been washed in the blood of Jesus and I'm saved from my sin. And I'm walking in newness of life. It's a change of ownership. It's a change of ownership. Believers in the New Testament, and we could turn, there's lots of scriptures we could read, but they were commanded to be baptized. Repent and be baptized. In other words, it goes beyond personal preference this morning. If someone is saved and has asked the Lord to forgive them, they need to be baptized. Does baptizing save someone? No, we know that. If someone dies without being baptized, can they still go to heaven? Yes. Point, look at the thief on the cross. The thief was on the cross and he opened up his heart and he accepted Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him, he said, this day thou shalt be with me. Thou shalt be with me this day in paradise. The man had never been baptized, but there was a change that took place in his heart. But do you know this? I believe if that man would have come down off that cross, one of the first things he would have done was gone to be baptized. I believe that. Because he would want everyone to know, I'm not a thief anymore. I used to be a thief, but I've been buried. I've died, and there's a new man that is now living. And when we look and see that physical act of someone coming up out of the water, I would that you see it as a resurrection. Those of you that are going to be baptized today, remember, when you come up out of that water, that is a place you can point back to. When the devil comes and contests your faith, yes, you're saved by the blood of Jesus, but you're sealing it with baptism. You are testifying that, Lord, I have decided I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life and I accept you and believe in you as Jesus Christ as my Lord. And you can point back when the devil comes and challenges your faith. You can point back not only to the cross, to that altar of prayer where you met the Lord, but you can also point to this day of baptism that, Lord, I followed you in obedience and I openly declared that I am saved from my sin and I choose Christ. Because the devil will fight all of us that are saved. He will battle your faith, and these are Ebenezer's for us. These are memorial stones that we put down on days like today. It's a special day of remembrance. Well, baptism was not a new practice in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, we read about John the Baptist, don't we? And he was there at the Jordan River, and he was preaching the message of repentance. Do you know who he was preaching to? He was preaching primarily to Jews. Now, I want us to get hold of this. The Jews understood water baptism. Because if a Gentile was going to convert to Judaism, there were three things that they did. A proselyte. They would come and they would be circumcised. The men would be circumcised, number one. Number two, they would have water baptism. And number three, they would have sacrifices offered and that blood applied to them. Three things that they did. It was a representation of cleansing. Water, you wash things with water, don't you? So it was a representation of that I was a Gentile, but I accept Yahweh. I accept God as my Father, as the Lord. And so they would go into the water as a symbol that I'm not a Gentile anymore, but now I'm identifying with the Jews. But John preached to the Jews, and in essence, this is what he was saying. Don't consider yourself a Jew. You're outside the covenant. In other words, you're like a Gentile. You need to repent of the sin that's in your life, and you need to come and be baptized. It was a message of repentance. You know, it's one, and they said, well, don't you know, the Pharisees said, we're Abraham's seed. The message of John said, no, if there's sin in your life, you're outside the covenant. You know, this morning, it doesn't matter if we were born and raised attending a congregation that said they were Church of God. It doesn't, those things, those are blessings, but that does not save us. Each one of us needs to come to a place that we realize I'm a Gentile. In other words, I'm outside of the covenant, and I want to enter into the covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to testify to it through water baptism. And that's the significance still today. It's meaningful. There is something about converting and the cleansing of it that the Lord wants us to keep be valuable to us today. So baptism, by definition, means immersion. And I know there have been a lot of twists to this through the years and through the centuries. But baptism means to dip or to immerse. It doesn't mean to sprinkle. And so that's the reason why we go down into the water and fully immerse baptism. It's the only scriptural mode for it. I don't read anywhere in the New Testament of sprinkling. Don't read anywhere about it. But the Philippian eunuch I mentioned, John baptized where there was much water. He baptized in the River Jordan. And it is, again, a key scripture in its symbolism is found in the 6th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what this is about today. We go down in the water, we say, I've changed my life. The Lord has forgiven me of my sins, and I am buried with Him in baptism. Y'all understand that this morning? I know that this should be something probably most of us say, yes, we understand it. But I believe the more we study it, the more we hear it, the more the value of it ought to increase. Because this is something that is taught by Christ. Jesus Himself was baptized, setting an example for us that we should follow. It's an outward testimony of an inward work that the Lord has already done. So who is it that should be baptized? The Scripture teaches that it was to believers. Repent and be baptized. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. Mark 16, it said, to them that believe. Acts chapter 2 said it was to those who gladly received the Word of God. They were baptized. Acts chapter 8, it said the men and women, they heard and believed Philip, and they were baptized. So this is what it takes. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins? Do you believe that? The answer to that, I trust, is yes. Second thing is then, have you repented of your sins? Is it your decision to follow Jesus? I'm going to do something a little different today, so I just want to let everyone know that plans to be baptized. I'm going to ask you. This is a public, see, when we go down into the water, if you've watched baptisms, we say on the confession or on the profession. It means the same thing. You'll hear different ministers say a little bit differently. On the confession of your faith. But what faith is being confessed to? You see, they just step in the water. But when I'm going to ask everyone that's baptized, before I do it, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for your sins? And if you believe that, say yes. And I'm going to also ask, have you repented? And is it your purpose to follow Jesus with the rest of your life? Yes. Then that's the meaning when we say on the profession of your faith. Because of what you just publicly acknowledged, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? It means something to be baptized. Well, so if we believe we're a candidate for it, what about infants? There's this new little baby right here. Would it be in order to baptize the little baby? Do you know that there are still many denominations today that teach that? But you know, that baby is innocent. That baby is pure. There was no change of life that baby needs to make. He's pure and innocent and undefiled before the Lord. But as people, as children, they grow up and get older and they start recognizing that I've been doing wrong. And I want the Lord in my life and I want to follow Him. Then that's when they're old enough to believe. They're old enough to repent. Those are the ones that are candidates for baptism. Well, there was and I've related this before and I'd like to share it again this morning. Many of the reformers, Martin Luther, Zwingli, they taught infant baptism. All right? So these early reformers, we appreciate them in the light and understanding that they had, but there were those two students of Zwingli, Conrad Grebel and Felix Mons from Switzerland. They began to get light and understanding of what's being preached here this morning. They began to get understanding that infant baptism that's not what's in the scripture, and they called it a believer's baptism. To be baptized when you believe in Christ and repent of your sins. And so they begin to teach that. Well, do you know that even many of the reformers began to persecute them for that teaching? Because they wanted to hold with infant baptism. And in Zurich in 1527, Felix Mons he was an Anabaptist. You know what Anabaptist means? Anna, you know what that word means? Anabaptist means rebaptized. So Mennonites and Amish, their roots go back to what I'm preaching this morning. These were their roots. They believed in rebaptism. By rebaptism, because see, they had all been baptized as little children or as infants. But they began to recognize that we get baptized when we're saved. Many of the Mennonites and Amish today don't even teach that truth. That's their roots. They were Anabaptists and the Lord used it greatly. I've been in Mennonite communities that do not believe in a believer's baptism anymore. They lost this wonderful heritage of truth. But Felix Mons was taken down in 1527 and he was drowned to death because of this teaching. They called it the third baptism. You were baptized as an infant. You believed and taught in a believer's baptism, and they were baptized after they were converted and recognized what we're teaching this morning. And so the authorities took him down into the river and held him down under the water until they died. It was called the third baptism. Put him to death because of their belief. Folks, there are people that have lost their lives for this teaching and practice this morning. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be taken casually. This is something, is this worth dying for? We say, well, it's not that important because it's all in the heart. Jesus said, be baptized. Very closely tied with repentance. No, it doesn't save us. But if we're not willing to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we are not willing to openly proclaim to those around us that I am a new creature in Christ, then does that not mean we're ashamed of Him? Do you know it meant something to me to be in Pakistan in a dirty canal running alongside the road, those Muslims that got saved? Putting them under the water and other Muslims driving by and the buses staring, what's going on? This is someone that has chosen Jesus Christ. Do we need to be ashamed of that or afraid of that? No, because the Word of God teaches us to do that. You know, it is still meaningful for us this morning. There are some of you that maybe have not had a background maybe as a child, you didn't grow up hearing this teaching, but this is a very special day because you are openly declaring that I am following Jesus Christ and I'm not the person that I used to be, and I'm not ashamed to declare my faith, and I accept and I embrace what Jesus Christ came to bring. Well, there are some that have grown up hearing this truth. But do you know this morning that all of us had to come to a place to be born again? I remember as a child, and I've shared it with the congregation when I gave my heart to the Lord, I still remember the conviction. I remember the tears. I remember the prayer. And I was a very young child, but it was real. And no one can steal that from me. And I remember being baptized. And do you know that all of us, when we come to that place in our life, that's an act of obedience. I believe this morning for some that have been raised, knowing the truth, much of it, after you've been saved, this is a very valuable thing because you're letting the devil know, I mean this. I mean this. Yes, I pray, but I'm just taking a stand publicly that I'm going to serve the Lord. And I believe that the enemy can be put on the run for some people in their life that haven't been baptized. Seal it. Seal it by this symbolic act of baptism. And some might ask, so I'm just going to address it while we're in this session here this morning. There have been those that say, well, what about being rebaptized? Do you know that if someone has lost their way, it's all right to come back and say, you know what, I want to openly declare that I'm a child of God. And I know that there are people sometimes, I'm going to say with young people, especially older young people that we've grown up. You know, children that get saved at a young age, we still get in trouble by our parents sometimes, and we still have some maturing to do. And so when you get older then, sometimes you've had some failures. It's like, well, I didn't really backslide necessarily, but I just didn't maybe maintain. And you want to reiterate. You want to just be sure that everything's clear with the Lord and that I don't have the enemy coming and say, well, but you know, what about this and what about that? I say, if there's a question in your mind this morning, don't worry about what everybody thinks. Oh, did they just get saved? No, not necessarily. But sometimes, especially, I've many, many a time, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for the adults here, but I guarantee you, if I ask for a show of hands, a good part of the adults here would say they've been baptized more than once. All right. Well, there's two. But there are times, see, it's not that we don't want to minimize this and, oh, I need to be baptized. This is a serious thing. But I'm saying when you've been baptized as a child, and I actually encourage it, if you're not old enough to understand and have a real believer's act of repentance, you should not be baptized. But when a child is old enough and they understand it and they want to be baptized, the scripture says do it. Repent and be baptized. Have you repented? Yes, okay. If they're old enough to understand it, get an experience with God, they're old enough to be baptized. But on the other hand, I am very aware of the struggles that we can have growing up in the church, if you will, and getting to an age and then you start getting settled and you still have some regrets. I wish I would have done differently there and I had a failure there. And do you have to be baptized? Not necessarily. If you've gone out into open sin, I would say yes. The scripture says to repent, do your first works over. But if in your mind there is a question, don't give the enemy that ammunition anymore. Just said, I'll be baptized. I don't have to be ashamed. I've been saved for years maybe, but I just want to use this against me. I'll go in the water and say, Lord, I still believe and I'm thankful to be a child of God. Isn't that something beautiful this morning? Jesus set that example for us. If there have been personal failures, I don't necessarily, and I'm speaking of by permission, not by commandment here, I don't personally find in the Scripture that there has to be, someone has to be rebaptized, and yet I find there are times it is between you and God. And if you feel a need to be baptized, today is a wonderful opportunity. But I want to end with this morning. I appreciate your attention this morning, but I'd like to end with this. It's been heavy on my heart all week. If you are not spiritually in a condition to be baptized, you can get in condition. If you have been living kind of spiritually lax, haphazard life and not quite as careful as you should have been, it's time to make a decision for the Lord. It's time this morning. I don't know if anybody feels or hears the call of the Spirit this morning, but it is time. We don't have the luxury of a world. It's too strong out there, people. It's too strong. It's too strong. The temptations, the pull of the world, by ourselves, we can't do it. And if we're not willing to openly declare ourselves that I'm going to follow the Lord in holiness, I embrace Jesus Christ in everything He taught, we're going to get caught up. But there's a place this morning, if you're not in a condition to be baptized, I want to encourage you to come. And I want to encourage you to come and recommit your life to the Lord. Maybe you're saved, but maybe you haven't been where you should be. I want to encourage you to come this morning and say, Lord, I want to come and I want to nail it down. I'm sorry that I haven't been as diligent. I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't been what I should have been. I'm sorry I haven't been the child, the young person. I'm sorry I haven't been the husband or the wife. Lord, I want to follow You. I don't want to be like the world. I'm leaving the world behind me. You know, this morning, if we cannot openly declare that I am forsaking the world, we are not in a condition to be baptized. But the Lord is calling for a consecration of heart. And I want to go another step then. There are times that we do need to make reconsecrations to the Lord. And if you do plan to be baptized this morning, it may be that there's a reason it's been delayed. It may be that there's something that you just want to come back down. I've done it as a child and as a young person, come back and said, Lord, I haven't backslidden, but Lord, I'm just not where I ought to be. And I don't even understand. It seemed like I had some failures here, and to be able to cross every T and dot every I, I don't understand it, Lord. But I just know that I want to follow You. I know, Lord, that I want to lay down my failures and the places I've fallen short, and I want to rededicate and recommit my life to You, Lord. Do you know that that's all right this morning? You don't have to understand everything that is in your past, but you can bring it to the Lord this morning and lay it down at the feet of at the feet of Jesus, that you can leave here this morning saying, I'm committed to the Lord. My life is dedicated. I'm going to follow the Lord. So as we stand and sing a song this morning, I just want to invite you. If you need to be saved, now is a good time. If you need to rededicate your life in consecrate, the Lord wants to meet us here this morning so we might stand and have a song. And it's not a time to worry about what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. We love you this morning. And we care for you. And we want everyone here to get into that place that they can walk out with power from God with a clear testimony.